We're good? We're live. I'm quite not ready for that, but it's okay.
I'm not ready to go live, but yeah, it should be. Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Then I'll go get my stuff. Check, check, check. Check, one, two, three. Little nasally, yeah. Sounds like I got a cold. I need a little help. Good. Hello, one, two, three, four, five, six. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello, hello.
Good morning.
Welcome. Oh, welcome to the beach. I should get over here to help. Two. Check, one, two, still. Hello, one, two, three, four. Yeah, I think it sounds, it's dropping. No, it's just my ears. That's good. Then it's good. I trust it.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thieves, the perfect Lamb of God between a broken heart and mother at his feet. the pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, the darkness falls, the Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You won it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you. For the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross.
Well, good morning. Welcome home, as we like to say. This is, whether it's your home or away, home away from home, this is a place of grace. This is a place where we get to gather in God's presence, and God comes and speaks and works to us, and we're excited to be here to praise Him, to lift Him up, because He is worthy of that praise. Amen. And also this day, we want to celebrate moms. Whether you've been a mom, physically you've had your own children, or you are a spiritual mom, we call you. Like, you're a woman who passes on the faith. God has blessed us with so many great women in our life and are value and essential. And so we just want to honor them today too. So we can just do that real together. Let's just applaud for a little bit. Say thank you. Thank you very much. So it's a privilege and a gift to have you in our lives. As we talk about, God has brought us here for a reason, and He really wants to speak to us. And I really believe that when God brings people here, that they're a gift. And we're here to steward that gift. And one of the ways we steward that is just want to recognize your presence with us and walk with you. And if there's something we can pray for, we'd love to do that. And so in your worship folder, there's a connection card. It's just an opportunity for us to be able to connect, and if we don't get a chance, and also to pray. Love to hear how God brought you here. That's always fun and interesting. It's great to be able to talk, and I met some people from Missouri already, and in other states, Alabama, and it's great to have you all here. Those joining us online, hey, check out the Facebook if you can sit there, or if you're on our website, either one works. If you want to go to the website, you can watch it, but you also can get the worship folder, so that'll help you to worship along with us. And as we gather here, we call this like a no judgment zone. That means it's like, okay, to worship in a way that's meaningful for you. If you want to rise, rise. If you want to just stay back and just kind of absorb, sit and soak, I call it, that's all good too. We're not here to judge. We're just here to help you connect to Jesus. We're in a series. It's called A Committed Disciple, and we're looking at qualities of a disciple that is responding to the grace of God from Easter, from the resurrection, and what they commit to. And the Bible talks about like committing our whole body to Him, right? Our whole life, our heart, mind, and soul, and everything. And we've been looking at parts of the body that God has given to us to commit to Him. And today, we're going to talk about hands. God has given these hands to commit to Him. So with that, I invite you to rise if you'd like to, so you can join in. We can start worshiping together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise You already for the good You have done. You have blessed this land with the rain it needed, but You have cleared the skies with the beautiful suns that we could gather in this beautiful sunrise as we are reminded that Your mercies are new every day. And so, Lord, we lean into Your presence here, and we ask that those words of promise would sit into our hearts and souls. That the word of mercy would not just be a word we say, but a word that is in us and goes with us. So bless this time and bless these hands as we lift them up to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
The lyrics will be in the first page of your bulletin. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for every wandering heart? Let's sing that again. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still You hear me when I'm calling, Lord, You catch me when I'm falling, and You told me who I am. I am Yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Hallelujah. Who am I that the voice that calms the seas will call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still You hear me when I'm calling, Lord, You catch me when I'm falling, and You told me who I am. I am Yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, Here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean. A vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. 'Cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth the living. Oh, I wasn't made to be penned in a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am. I know who I am. 'Cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth the living. Oh, 'cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Do you believe it? So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
So God, we thank you that you have fixed your grace on us, that you have given us identity as your children. And that is what creates more. Not our striving, not our doing, but your grace inside of us. So let it be secured today. Let it be reaffirmed. Let it be built up for what the more you have in us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I invite you in the worship folder. You get the little bit of backstory of how things go sometimes, and so we actually printed the first draft of the outline, not the final one. So there's an insert of the outline if you want to follow along in the message. If you want to be challenged, you can look at the old one and try to figure it out. And I will give a sticker out for those who can do both. Okay. But that's what happens as in our process, and we just got it mixed up a little bit. There are some hands you never forget. Firefighters' hands, carpenters' hands, surgeons' hands, and for most of us, our mother's hands. Hands that held us when we were little. Hands that packed our lunches, folded our laundry, bandaged our knees, comforted us when we were sick, wiped tears, stirred spaghetti, signed permission slips at 11:47 p.m. because apparently every school project in America is due the next day. And moms had this remarkable ability to do things with their hands that defy any logic. Right? Hands that could point at you at church for misbehaving three pews away and communicate everything you need to know right there. Moms had a spiritual gift of communicating with their hands. My mom could say an entire paragraph just with her hands. No words, just her hands, and somehow that led me to repentance every time. But if you really think about it, hands tell stories. Weathered hands, working hands, gentle hands, holding hands, praying hands, exhausted hands. Some of you came today tired. Your hands have spent the week holding things together, fixing problems, trying to fix people, paying bills, raising children, caring for aging parents, trying to keep a marriage together, trying to carry burdens that nobody else carries. And underneath all that is a deep spiritual truth. And your hands reveal your heart. And this is where Jesus meets us today. Number one, your hands are not neutral. They're always reaching for something. When I was little and we went shopping with my mom, she would say, "Put your hands in your pocket." Before we got into the store, "Put your hands in your pockets." Why? Because my mom knew that if our hands were free, we would be grabbing everything in the store. And honestly, that's us spiritually. Our hands are always reaching for something. Jesus says it in Matthew 9:19. He says, "Do not lay up treasures for yourself." In other words, do not keep reaching out for treasures for yourself on earth. Because where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there is your heart will also be. He says, do not lay up these treasures. Jesus is saying, look, your hands are constantly reaching. They are reaching out for security. They are reaching for comfort. They are reaching for control. They are reaching for approval. We grasp on to things we think will finally satisfy us. And some of that's obvious. It's money, success, status. But sometimes it's more subtle. It's the need to be right. The need to be noticed. to need to feel valuable. And some of us are exhausted because our hands have spent all this time trying to hold together things that we were never meant to carry alone. And underneath that is this painful truth. Our hands constantly reaching for what benefits us. Sin curves our hands inward. Even our good works can quite become self-serving. Right? We scroll endlessly to what speaks to us. We grasp tightly to people and things that benefit us. We hold grudges. We hold past over others. We cling to success. This is why Jesus goes beyond the behavior of gathering up of our hands. And he says he goes after the treasure. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, B, our hands reveal what our heart actually trusts. What our heart believes will save us. Our hands are revealing the little idols that are in our hearts that keeps us looking to feed those little idols so we can feel that security, that strength, that comfort. That's exactly what Jesus exposes. Next, he says in Matthew 6, and even our good works can quite become about us, because beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you. It's a little uncomfortable because Jesus is talking directly to church people, religious people, those who look faithful, people who can serve while secretly wanting recognition. And before we judge the Pharisees just too quickly, if we're a little bit real today, I mean, we all like to be noticed. You post one thing online and suddenly you're checking. Does someone like it? Did they comment? Did that joke land? I mean, some of you checked your phone while we were singing of your Mother's Day post, see if it was getting any traction. And if you didn't, your children probably did. But Jesus says something piercing. They have received their reward. Meaning if human applause is all they wanted, that's all they're going to get. And suddenly it becomes a little bit deeply personal. Again, because our hands reveal where our hearts actually trust. And so Jesus is asking and pushing in is, what are your hands reaching out for now? What are you trying to hold together? Or what are you afraid of to lose? Hands gripping tightly to money, often in fear. Hands constantly working to reveal our identity, built on performance. Our hands endlessly scrolling may reveal a longing to be seen. Our hands pushing others away may reveal wounds that never healed. And perhaps some of you are exhausted because our hands have spent years trying to earn what only Jesus can give. Worth. Identity. Peace. Security. See, our hands are not just busy reaching. They're broken. see our hands are failed hands. Our hands have hurt people. Our hands have hidden sin. Hands have pushed others away. Hands have folded in prayer while hearts wandered. These hands have reached out for things God intended to save us from. And maybe the hardest part is this, that sometimes even in our service to God becomes another attempt to justify ourselves, to prove ourselves, to matter, to feel enough. Which means, D, we don't just need clean hands, we need redemption. We need redemption. And this is where Christianity becomes radically different than self-help. Jesus not simply stand away shouting at us with his arms crossed, his hands in his pocket. Because if he could have done that, if that would have been that easy to change us, he would have told us, just keep your hands in your pocket and you'll be okay. But it's not the hands, it's the heart that needs to be redeemed. He says, no, don't put your hands in a pocket, but bring those reaching hands to me. Why? Because number two, Jesus opens his nail-scarred hands to us. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it inside of my hand, my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Get in this moment. Thomas doubts. He's struggling. He's questioning. He's wondering. And in that thinking that's going on, this is what's underneath of it. Will he reject me? What does Jesus do? He shows his hands. Put your finger here. Do you realize what this moment is for Thomas? It's not an intellectual argument to convince him. It's grace for his soul. It's grace. The resurrected Jesus still bears scars. He could have erased them, but he kept them. Why? Because the wounds and the scars tell the eternal story that your salvation was purchased at the cross. Jesus stretched out his hands for people with failed hands. For selfish people, fearful people, broken people, doubting people. For us. And that includes some of the women today who are quietly wondering if they failed. They failed at moms. They failed as daughters. Failed in ways that nobody else sees, but ways that they still regret and can bring guilt and shame in a moment. See, hear this clearly. Jesus was pierced for your failing hands too. And notice something beautiful. Hey, Jesus meets doubting people with scarred hands, not crossed arms. He meets them with the scarred hands. That means he comes to us and he calls to us, and not in condemnation, not in humiliation, but in grace and mercy and invitation. An invitation that Jesus opens his hands for you, that you may see, that you may know, that you may experience His amazing grace. And maybe that matters, especially on Mother's Day. Because while today is a joyful for many, for others it can carry ache. Some are grieving mothers. Some are grieving children. Some carry broken relationships. Some feel exhausted from trying to hold the family together. And moms especially know what it means to carry the invisible burdens. And maybe today Jesus is asking a deeper personal question again. B, what are our hands reaching for and holding on to? Are you holding on to fear? Control? Regret? Shame? The pressure? Hold everything together, keep the peace. See, some of you are spiritually exhausted because your hands have spent years trying to carry what only Jesus can. And that is why the gospel is such good news. Don't miss this. This is the gold. See, before God ever asks anything from our hands, He gives us everything through His hands. Before God ever asks anything from our hands, He gives us everything through His hands. He gives us His forgiveness, His mercy, salvation, our identity, and rest. He gives us forgiveness through those pierced hands, that mercy through the wounded hands, life through the crucified hands. Christianity is not, I got to reach out to God and strive to God to have His approval and His forgiveness and His gifts. No. To have God accept me. No. Christ has already secured you in the cross through His hands. Jesus says in John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. See, D, we've got to remember, His hands do not let go. They don't let go. Sometimes I think the church builds this expectation up. If we're going to be a disciple, committed disciple, mature disciple, that means we are people who don't struggle, never fail, never wrestle. And that is your image of what a committed, mature disciple is. And if I ever gave that, please forgive me. But if that is your image, understand. Don't read the Bible too closely then. Because it's filled with these disciples we lift up, patriarchs of faith. I mean, we see Abraham who struggled. David failed. Peter denied Jesus. Thomas doubted. We could go on. And we can go on to the church today. And pastors and church leaders are not on pedestals either. They're sinners who are held by grace too. God's hands. See, a little bullet there. Discipleship is not held together by our grip on Jesus, but His grip on us. It's His grip on us. Your salvation is not held on you because of your grip on Jesus, how great it is, but the grip that Jesus has on you. Your hands fail. His does not. Your faith struggles. His mercy does not. You grow weary. He remains faithful. You lose your grip. He doesn't lose His. You even let go to grab other things, but He holds on. Some of you need to hear this today. Jesus holds on. Because you have spent your life trying to hold yourself together spiritually, and Jesus says, look, I'm holding you. One of my favorite songs is from Matt Redman. It says, "You never let go." And the thing he says, "You never let go through the calm and through the storms. Every high, every low, you never let go of me." See, truly being a committed disciple is not about perfection, maturity, and getting past all of that. It's being aware of God who is present with you every day in all this with His forgiveness, grace, and mercy, who never lets go. And that there's a God of grace and mercy who's drawing a straight line while your life is a curvy line. And God draws a straight line with our crooked, curvy lines. God gets us to the right place we are supposed to be in ways and means we never expected, never would have chosen, never saw possible. Because God draws straight lines where in our crooked lines. Because we look at our crooked lines and we see a mess. We look at our crooked lines and we see all the mistakes. We look at our crooked lines and say, man, there's just been too many or too great. They're all piled up. And we start to become in this hopelessness that it's all going to go and we have to take control. We have to do something. And we don't realize in the crooked and the mess in our crooked lines, God is drawing a straight line. And God specializes in these situations. See, you're at the perfect point if you're feeling that way today. You're at the perfect point for God to do a miracle. To act, to bring greater purpose, greater goodness, and greater meaningful in your life. See, God is working. And often His work is number three. Christ changes self-serving hands into serving hands. Jesus doesn't just forgive, He transforms them. Before Christ, our hands were reaching and curving in and always bringing in, and everything was about us. But now that we've been redeemed in Jesus, our hands begin to what? Open outward. Not perfectly, but genuinely. We begin loving. Begin serving and giving and blessing. Number four. See, we're held by His hands and sent with ours. Because Christ has a hold of us now, our hands are sent on the mission of God's glory. They just get changed. And the Bible talks about how we can use our hands in so many different ways. We just listed a few. But A is worship. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all your people, shout aloud, Lord, loud songs of joy. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire then that at every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. See, we get excited or see something's important. It's natural for us to lift hands, lift our hands up. And somehow we got in church, oh, you're just a crazy emotional thing. No, it's a recognition of the greatness of God. It's a thanksgiving. It's a praise that God is here amongst us. We lift His hands. And we also fold them. And so we say, God, I just want to focus on You. And we clap. It's joy. There's churches, like, they sit on their hands. They can't even clap or do anything. It's not scripture. Your hands were given for worship. Because Christ is faithful. And we raise it for that. B, work. 1 Thessalonians 4, as to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as instructed you. Man, your work matters. It's a calling from God. It's important. It's what He designed your hands for. Your hands were meant to produce. At the same time, your hands belong to Jesus. And what does that mean? That our identity, our value and worth is not measured by what our hands produce. Our value worth comes from Christ and belonging to Him. And that's the freeing thing. He frees us to then to work. And our work is not out of desperation to produce something to have some meaning, but it is actually our worship. Moms know this better than anybody. Much of motherhood happens in hidden faithfulness. Laundry nobody applauds. Meals that disappear in 7 minutes. Cleaning the same room 17 times in a row. Hidden faithfulness matters deeply to God. The Father sees in secret, sees you. This is why it's good to celebrate moms, ladies, for all they do in secret that never gets celebrated and thanked. See, bless. Acts 6:6. They set before the apostles and they prayed and laid their hands on them. The apostle laid their hands on people and prayed. Christians' hands bless. A hug, a prayer, a hospital visit, a squeezing of a hand, a meal delivered, a hand on someone's shoulder to remind them not alone. Never underestimate these simple, ordinary acts of mercy. I have a guy who talked to me this week who travels all over. And every time he travels someplace, he goes to a different church. And he says it's kind of interesting. He just sits at a church and he just waits to see if people will say hello or greet him. And he said, I just came to your church and it was totally different. Because I had all these people say hello and greet me, and it was genuine, it was loving. I mean, he just felt the mercy of the Lord because so many people came and just greeted him. It's just that simple. Your presence, your touch matter. D, heal. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pay and give without pay. Christ is still a healing Savior, and He still works through His people. He works through His medical, but He also works directly through His people, regular people, friends. Pastors, parents, caregivers. God's mercy is often through the hands of human people. So pray earnestly. Pray earnestly for the healing of others. And just submit it into God's hands. But lay hands and pray and ask. E, serve. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, all to the glory of God. Notice not some things, it's whatever you do. Everyday discipleship is at home, it's at work, it's at school, it's at play, it's in the traffic, it's in the ball field, it's everywhere we go. Everywhere we go is part of serving the Lord. It's here, having fun on the beach. God wants you to enjoy His creation, but in that you can still be serving the Lord. It's formed in daily faithfulness with our hands that are out of our pockets and ready to serve and bless. Number 5, work for the Lord in eternal treasures. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Brothers and sisters, our labor is not meaningless. Your service matters, whatever it is. Because what you're doing, whatever your job is, it's not for that boss, it's not for that company, it's for the Lord. And that's what He's given to you. And when you're doing that, that's part of His kingdom work. You're carrying out His kingdom work. Whatever job you have. And He is with you. So remember, one day, the hands that were nailed to the cross for you will wipe away every tear from your eyes. The hands that carried your sin will say, "Welcome home." But until that day, you do not walk alone. You are held. Held by Jesus. Held in mercy. Held in grace. Held by nail-scarred hands that never let go. And that's why you and I can be a committed disciple with our hands. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you, God, that you hold us in your hands of mercy and grace. That you give us rest in our souls. When the world is in chaos, when things seem like they're falling apart or come unraveled, when our hands have failed us and we thought we could do or was going to be done, and we're in a mess, and we're hurting, let us be reminded of the nail-scarred hands that hold us, that have redeemed us, that are with us, and that carry us. So God, we praise you for that. And we praise you for the people you put in our lives, especially moms, who have modeled that in their life for us. Who have been your hands in the secret ways of ministering to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you bless the hands of all. And more importantly, Lord, that your grace would just abound in our hearts to guide these hands into your ways and to your righteousness. That we aren't just reaching out everywhere, but we are in this set security to be reaching to give like you. For you so loved the world, you gave your Son. And so God, in your hands we can trust all things. We pray that in a prayer you taught us, that your will be done on earth as in heaven. We know it's so much better than our ways. And so God, we lift up the petitions on our hearts for our world, for our leaders, for our country, for our families, for our friends, and our communities. And we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have an opportunity to use our hands today in our worship as we continue to worship in our offerings, and you can use the text to give or the envelope in there, whatever, or go online, whatever it is that form that you feel comfortable with, to be a blessing and to honor God with your hands today, what He's blessed you with. Also, in your worship folder is that connection card. If you had a chance to fill out the front, I invite you to flip back to the back side, share whatever you the next step you want to make with God today. There's some options there. As we like to say, there's plenty of water here for baptisms, and that's where God is leading you today. You've not been baptized, or you just want prayer, welcome to come up. I'd love to pray with you. Also, we have some next steps today, which is partnership and membership on Tuesday night. The details are in there, but an opportunity just to step in and lean into what God is doing here. We invite you to do that. He is inviting you to do that and say, man, God would love to use your hands here. And have your heart and be a part of this community. And that is where God might be prompting you. This is a place to check it out in those classes. Take partnership and see if it would like to lead you further and deeper and make the next step to membership. Also today, on your way out, ladies, wanted to be able to bless your hands today. And so on your way out, we have some hand lotion, and be a reminder as you take care of your hands, remember that God has blessed your hands and He has redeemed your hands in His blood of Jesus Christ. So you can take that, get a chance to get that lotion on your way out, just a way to just bless and say thank you. And it's for all the ladies. So thank you so much. Lastly, we have a little beach breakfast celebration, so you're welcome to go to Pavilion. Love to be able to connect, do some fellowship. So that's just off the boardwalk to your right, those little two little buildings. Love to be able to have some time to connect and connect with the community. So encourage you to do that. So with that, I invite you to rise as we do. We'll continue our worship, and the ushers will come along, and you can put your offering and your connection card in the bucket.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Hallelujah. So receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. God bless. See you next week. We also need some help breaking down, so if you can,